Scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Now the whole earth had one language and few words. And as men migrated in the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build up ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the sons of the men had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. These are the descendants of Shem. When Shem was 100 years old, he became the father of Arpachshad, 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived after the birth of Arpachshad 500 years and had other sons and daughters. May God bless the reading of his holy word.
Well, I brought my work belt today. This is what I wore for the car show, and it matches. It's got the red on it. Because I kind of feel like I've been building a tower all week, and I know there are others of you that feel that way too. You know, and this is pretty cool. I could put my Bible in here, and I might wear this all the time. But we feel like, I'm sure others too, feel like you've been building a tower all week. Because Friday night, a lot, we're getting the Relay for Life stuff together and getting it out to Palatine. And then Saturday, we had the car show all day long. And then, of course, there were other things going on during the week. And so it's been a kind of a busy week, a tiring week at times, but a wonderful week as we were building these events and getting them going. And this passage has been interpreted over the years a lot of times to say that the people were wanting to be like God, or they were trying to build this tower up to God. And I suppose we could say that we need to be careful that we're not building a tower. We need to be careful of our motives for what we do, and that we're not raising this money to make this church beautiful and wonderful, because it's not the building. It's what we do in the building that counts. And so we probably should keep that in mind at all times, that we need to be careful about the pride of our structure and the feeling that we might be doing something better than anyone else. Well, I don't know how to turn that off. I was afraid that was maybe making that squeal. There we go. But this passage is hard to understand for me. I think it's kind of funny in a way to think that people might be able to build a tower, or think that they could build a tower up to God. And so it's, you know, ancient thought, but it is kind of a funny thought. Of course, I went to Denali and saw the highest mountain in the U.S., and the first thought that came in my mind when I saw the clouds around the bottom or the middle of it was, ooh, God must live up there, because it just looked like a place God would live, right up in the top where I couldn't see. But I think there are other ways that we maybe try to be a little like God, in that we try hard to defy death and, You know, we're working with Christ, trying to freeze bodies so that someday we can thaw them out or whatever. I don't know the whole lot about it. And, you know, we genetically modify seeds and we do test tube babies and all of these things. And I'm not saying they're bad, but I do think sometimes maybe we're trying to control life and sometimes it can be harmful, maybe in a way trying to play God. I think another way that we do that, though, is also when we categorize sin, when we take over God's right to decide what is bad and what is good, and we decide for others what is right or wrong and criticize them. And that goes for other religions, other faiths, other denominations, too. I think these are ways that we do try to play God, but I don't think that that's the main point of this story. I don't think this story is about building towers or trying to reach God. And when the passage talks about building a tower into the sky, that doesn't mean they're trying to get to God necessarily in ancient Hebrew. It just means they were building a tall tower for whatever reason. Well, they said, so that they could make a name for themselves. And that's where we have the interpretation of pride. Maybe God was upset with them because they had too much pride. They were trying to make a name for themselves, and God was worried about that, making a name for themselves. But it is a story about diversity in language. God dispersed the people, and they began to speak different languages. I heard a joke that said, how many languages do you need to know to be a polyglot? A polyglot, I didn't know what that was. That's someone who can speak many languages. And it said, well, 4 to be quadrilingual, 3 to be trilingual, 2 bilingual, but 1 language, you're either British or American. I found that out when I went overseas, and Americans expect everyone to speak their language. Other countries don't appreciate that. And it's hard sometimes to be American traveling overseas because other Americans can be pretty rambunctious about you need to understand me rather than our needing to understand them. I even had an instance in China. I was traveling with a group and we were hosted by the Chinese government. And we were in a small town, and the government official asked us, so how many of you speak Mandarin? Well, we looked very blank because that's a terrible language to learn. We had a hard time just learning bathroom. But he went on to tell us, you Americans are very arrogant. You don't bother to learn any other language. All you learn is your own language and expect the world to speak your language. And I have found that to be true. Children all around the world are bilingual, but we don't encourage it so much in America. But this is a story about diverse languages, diverse people. But what I wanted to do this morning was to compare this story about Babel with the story of Pentecost. So we look at the story in Genesis. And in verse 4 of our chapter today, it says, and then they, the people, said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And then kind of paired with that, we have the Lord speaking in verse 6. And it says, the Lord said, look, there are one people, and they have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. And the Lord says, come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech. And so the Lord disperses them, and so you see unity moved into diversity. You see, one people with one language moved into people with many different languages. But then we go to the Pentecost passage, and this is in the New Testament. It says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there was a rush of wind, and there were fire on each person. And it says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. And it talked about all of the different people that were in town, and that they were amazed that the Galileans could speak all of these different languages, because they would have only probably known one or two languages. But they were speaking in all different languages, and everyone could understand. And it says, all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But then others laughed and said, oh, they're just drunk. Well, so we have these very two different passages. One where God takes unity and makes it disunified. And then we have this passage that takes disunity and they all hear. They are united in hearing the message. And so it goes to unity. So they're kind of opposite. And we often say that God is punishing the people in Genesis, although it doesn't say that God was punishing. It just says, we're going to stop this and we're just going to make it different. But then, so we view it that maybe as punishment, but then we look at Pentecost and it's empowering with language. It's giving them a way to speak to all. And so why do we have these two views? Well, I don't think they are so different. In the Babel account in Genesis, the word one is mentioned four different times in verse 1 and 6. The people are one people and they have one language. And they have this fear of being scattered. They want to hold on to that one way that is theirs, that comfort zone that they are living within. And they're afraid that God will scatter them, or they will be scattered. It's kind of like Brueggemann, a wonderful theologian, says it's kind of that fortress mentality. You know, I'm just going to keep everything like I like it, and I will be safe within this homogeneity. And then, of course, they wanted to make a name for themselves on top of that, which is that idea of if we can all kind of stay together, then maybe we can have a power and we can let folks know that we have a name for ourselves, that we are powerful. But they were resisting God's intent for the world. When we look at Genesis, God created the world and God said, go out and multiply and fill this earth. And then if we move on to the next chapter in our passage this morning, it talks about God telling Abraham, go out from where you're at. Go away from your family and your little comfort zone and move out into a new land. Create a new culture. And so I wonder, and I asked this morning, if we all spoke the same language and we all had common culture, would we all get along? Well, I don't think so. I think we will all have disagreements, always, no matter what, no matter whether we're all common or whether we have diversity among us. I laughed about being in England, and we all speak English, but their language is very different English, and it doesn't always come across the same. There were many funny instances, but And we know that all across America we have different dialects of English. And sometimes our words don't make sense to one another. And so even with the sameness, we're always going to be different. And so I think that what God is saying to them is that diversity is good, but it needs to be with understanding. We need to have unity within the diversity in understanding. Pentecost is a wonderful celebration of language with understanding. And many theologians say it's really a miracle not of speaking, but a miracle of hearing. The people heard with understanding. When we have failed hearing, that's when we have deaths of relationships. That's if we fail to hear someone else, we are in a sense saying, your opinion is no good. I'm not going to hear what you say. You are null or void. But when we begin to listen, have conversations where both are listening to each other and willing to learn, that's when we take the diversity and it can become unity. And then what Peter said on Pentecost Day, the speech that he spoke to everyone, that everyone was hearing with ears that could hear, he was talking about God, and he says that God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, upon sons and daughters who will be able to preach, upon our young men and our old men, and upon slaves and men and women. God will pour out his spirit upon all in the beautiful diversity of our world. And so language with a desire to understand brings unity despite our diversity. And in our unity, even unity within this place, within this church, we can spread God's desire for the world, which I think is joy and delight and freedom and love and caring, and we can go on and on and on. Let's bow for just a moment of reflection and then prayer. Oh God, teach us to listen to one another with the desire to learn and to understand. Amen.